I'm Brandi Cruz, coming up today on Undivided, a win for sanity and a loss for sanity all in the same day. A biological boy drops out of the girls' state wrestling tournament after an Undivided report. Plus, the Washington State Senate passes an income tax on millionaires and rejects an amendment that would have stopped it from becoming an income tax on everyone. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at UndividedPod.com. That's UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. We've got to take, I guess, the wins where we can get them for common sense and sanity. So, of course, we continue to follow this saga around the accusations that a boy wrestler who identifies as a girl in Puyallup sexually assaulted his 16-year-old female opponent. A few follow-ups on that today. So we know that the sheriff's office was given the allegations, from Callie Keeler against this trans wrestler. We now know that the sheriff's office forwarded a potential charge for rape onto the Pierce County prosecuting attorney's office. A felony charge of rape is based on the evidence, is what the sheriff's office is recommending to the prosecuting attorney's office. Now, the prosecutor's office will eventually have to make a charging decision based on whether there's enough evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a crime occurred. We reached out to the prosecuting attorney's office this morning to ask what the status of their charging decision was. They told us, we've asked the sheriff's detective assigned to this case for some follow-up investigation. They said, we don't know how long that will take. So the case is in the hands of the prosecutor's office. They're saying that they want a little bit more information from the detective on the case. I will say at the onset, I think it's a very hard case to prove, certainly for a felony rape charge, only because you have this sport that's very hands-on in the allegation Callie Keeler made, and you see it on video. I mean, you don't see the actual grab of her private area, but she says what's happening to her on video as it's happening. Their fingers are in my blank. And so to me, that's very compelling, but can you prove that it was intentional? Can you prove that it was intentional and not sort of a miss? I think it was intentional, but the standard is pretty high in a court of law, obviously. So that's going on. But the big win for sanity has to be this. That boy is no longer going to compete in state this week. His name had been on the state roster bracket for the girls' 4A at 190 pounds. This was just a couple days ago. We were kind of watching the bracket to see if anything changed. And then just yesterday, after our show, I mean, minutes after our show aired yesterday, we got word that at first it was just, hey, heads up, his name has been removed from the bracket. So we didn't initially know, did he remove himself? Did the WIAA or the Puyallup School District remove him, given the allegations against him? We reached out to the WIAA and they told us that that student removed himself from the tournament. And look, I mean, maybe that's because there's a criminal investigation. Maybe that's because they knew that there would be a lot of attention on them throughout the tournament. Whatever the reason is, I think that this is good news. And it's made even better by the fact that the alternate who's now going to get that spot at state in the 190-pound weight class is a real girl who lost her spot because there's a biological boy and that she wasn't able to beat. And so now I think that that's a win for sanity and common sense, that a girl who otherwise would not be competing at state this week is going to compete at state this week. So we're going to continue to track that story as I think it brings a new set of eyeballs. You know, certainly the mainstream media is now covering this. We've never seen that. King, Cairo, Como, the News Tribune. In Washington State, the Legacy News has refused to touch any stories around gender ideology, any stories around protecting girls' sports. The fact that they're now covering this, because, I mean, how do you ignore it? There's a police investigation. There's potential charges here. It's gotten national attention. They can't ignore it anymore. And to me, this might be a turning point on this protecting girls' sports issue. And I would also remind you, there's a school board meeting in Puyallup tonight. It's happening at 6 p.m. My understanding is it's going to be pretty packed. And I would encourage you, if you have a dog in this fight, And really, that can be as a taxpayer funding these schools that are doing this. That can be as a parent. That can be as a student. This is your opportunity to make your voice heard. And so that's happening at their regular, where they regularly have school board meetings for the Puyallup School District at the Kessler Center at 6 p.m. It'll also be live streamed, so you can find out how to watch on the Puyallup School District website. So a good opportunity there to look, come, obviously behave yourselves. I don't think I even have to tell you guys that. The other side, maybe. But, you know, make your voice heard. Do it in a forceful but you know, not unhinged way. And let them know how you feel about this continued push for radical gender ideology and just utter nonsense. And also, just to be fair, I don't know that you can blame the Puyallup School District for this. Certainly, Callie Keeler's alleged assault not being reported to police for 2 months. There are certainly individuals within the Puyallup School District who are to blame for that. But, you know, the radical gender stuff, they don't have a choice. It's a state policy. It's OSPI. It's WIAA. One school district cannot just decide we're not going to enforce the state's law on this. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But also, we know the Department of Education has launched a Title IX civil rights investigation into the Puyallup School District over all of this. All right, that's the win for sanity. And now we have a big old loss for sanity. Yesterday, Democrats in the Washington State Senate passed the millionaires tax. Not a surprise. Senator Jamie Peterson, who's the leading Democrat in the Senate, he's been spearheading this. So this is something we expected. I do believe it'll be a harder hurdle over in the House, but I still think that the House has the votes to be able to send an income tax on millionaires over to Governor Bob Ferguson, and I believe that he's ready and willing to sign it into law. Now, the arguments against an income tax on millionaires are many. I thought Senator Chris Gildon, a Republican, did a good job of explaining them, chief among them, the fact that it is just blatantly unconstitutional.
Number one, it's unconstitutional. This bill clearly violates the plain language of the state constitution and 95 years of court precedent saying income is property and therefore must be taxed uniformly. This puts Washington state business at a disadvantage. Business doesn't operate in a vacuum. It operates in a competitive environment. And right now, we rank 45 out of 50 in tax competitiveness. This will certainly put us behind, Mr. President. There was a recent survey of over 400 Washington businesses. 44% of them said they are considering moving their business out of state. Capital flight, Mr. President, that is a real thing. People with means, people who earn the amounts as described in this bill, they have the means to move their assets, to move their residences out of our state. When they leave, Mr. President, we lose out on all of their revenue. We lose out on their jobs. We lose out on so many things because they'll just take it with them.
Yeah, and it's very possible that we'll be looking at a net negative revenue situation. But on top of all of that, and he opened with this, is we don't need the money. We don't need the money. Our budget has ballooned exponentially over the last 20 years, way past inflation, way past the rate of population growth. We just have started spending money on a lot of things that the government has no business having its dirty little fingers in. And so they just will not pass out. This will be the largest tax increase in a century in Washington state at a time of record revenue. We are not in the poorhouse. We have plenty of money. They just have a very, very, very long list of things that they want to spend your money on. The yes arguments from Democrats on the millionaires tax are just very familiar. It's this old, well, they have the money, they're rich, so why not just take it from them? And these lies that without this tax on millionaires, we won't be able to afford the basic core functions of government and human survival.
If you have everything you need, it's your responsibility to give back. So to me, personally, it is common sense that if you make more money than 98% of Washingtonians, you pay an income tax to help build a better Washington for all Washingtonians. And my constituents agree. Most Washingtonians agree that we should tax the wealthy.
The correspondences I'm getting from constituents are, please don't cut my access to Medicare. please don't make my kids sit in unsafe schools in too big of classes where they can't get the support they need, the extra tutoring in math, the extra support that they need for literacy. You know, we have a lot of people in this state that are living on the margins, and I'll tell you about a good friend of mine. As we have faced wave after wave of cuts coming from the federal government, basic supports for vulnerable people in our communities, Mr. President. I have someone in my life that is contemplating homelessness because she can't afford the over-the-counter medicine that used to be provided. And what I want us to keep at the forefront as we are thinking about Washingtonians and what they need and who we are here to represent, Mr. President, I think about my dear friend who has been living on the margins for so very long.
So you have a friend that's living on the margins and is contemplating homelessness because they can't afford their medication, yet you still support spending money on laser hair removal and boob jobs for transgender prison inmates. You see how this just doesn't compute. Our budget has got, it has ballooned. It's bigger than it's ever been. Our spending is higher than it's ever been. We are not in an economic crisis in the state of Washington. It's where you're choosing to put your money. And it is such a lie to suggest that we don't have enough money to help people who are living on the margins. We spend billions in this state on homelessness every single year. And one of the areas where we spend billions are for people who are on the cusp of homelessness, trying to help them stay in their home because it's cheaper to do that than to help them once they've fallen into homelessness. If there is someone in this state who literally is about to go homeless, we have more than enough money to help them. We have more than enough. And this lie she also tells about, oh, education. Oh, my gosh, we need this money for education. Not a dime of the revenue that will come in from the income tax on millionaires is specifically reserved for education. Not 1 cent. Not 1 cent. It goes into the general fund. Now, a lot of the general fund is spent on education, but there is no promise that a cent of the millionaire's tax will go to education. So if they say that, that's just a lie. And we know that what has also ballooned, as our state revenue and budget has ballooned, the amount of money we've spent on education. 10 years ago, we were spending about $9,000 per pupil on education. Now we're spending $20,000 per pupil on education for worse results as enrollment declines. They have enough money for education. They just see, they literally see rich people and say, they have the money, let's just take it. But of course, the biggest concern here, look, I don't want a millionaire's tax. Even if this stayed a millionaire's tax, I don't want it. I'm not a millionaire. I won't pay it. But we know the impact that this will have on our economy, on businesses big and small. Even for small businesses where the owner isn't a millionaire, but they have to keep money in their business account to pay for payroll, for emergency expenses, they're going to be taxed as millionaires. This is going to be devastating at a time when 44% of Washington business owners are saying they're contemplating moving out of state. And something like 80-85% are saying they're not going to have any further investment in Washington for the next year or two. But the biggest issue is this is not going to stay a tax on millionaires. Let me say that again. This will not just be an income tax on millionaires. And during this debate, Democrats proved it, as if we didn't know that already. But Republicans introduced an amendment during this debate on the floor. It was Amendment 696, and it said this. This act will be null and void unless a constitutional amendment is adopted by voters. It says this act is null and void if a constitutional amendment is not submitted and approved by the voters by December 15th, 2026, which limits the maximum tax rate under this act to 9.9% and sets the minimum standard deduction threshold at $1 million per household. So they said, unless voters are able to weigh in on a constitutional amendment that would codify in the state constitution that this income tax may not expand beyond millionaires, that it may not reduce the threshold of the person who's taxed to people making under $1 million a year, then this income tax on millionaires would be null and void. So if Democrats really don't intend on having this be an income tax on everyone, they would have had no problem adopting this amendment. But they didn't adopt the amendment. They voted it down.
Mr. President, there are 21 yea, 28 nay.
Having failed to receive a majority vote, amendment number 0696 is not adopted.
It could not be more clear. They had an opportunity to say and to say we are okay with codifying in the state constitution that this income tax on millionaires won't dip below that, won't affect people who make under $1 million a year. They refused to do it. And that's on top of all the other statements they've made where they refuse to say definitively that we're not going to turn this into an income tax on everyone. This was Senator Jamie Peterson, a Democrat, who was asked about it during the committee hearing on the millionaire's tax a couple weeks ago.
I'm just curious, in your view, should an income tax in Washington state be structured so that it will eventually be able to apply to middle and working class families, or should it permanently be limited to high income earners?
Thank you, Senator Gildon. The bill that is in front of us is only about people who have at least $1 million of income. That is the decision that we have before us as a legislature this year and as a committee, I guess, first. We don't have the ability to bind future legislatures, and I suspect that in the future, we
Spit
all
out,
want
Jamie.
To make sure that our successors will have the flexibility to respond to the challenges that they see in front of them.
Word soup to say, yeah, we're not going to promise that. Because that's what they want to do. They've always wanted an income tax. I've said it a million freaking times, but I just feel the need to ad nauseum remind people. Democrats in Washington state have been trying to get an income tax for decades. Not a millionaire's tax, an income tax. And now they realize that the only feasible path toward the income tax on everyone that they've always wanted is to start it with millionaires, tax the rich, make them pay their fair share and dupe everyone into supporting that and not reversing it in an initiative. And then they'll say, all right, yeah, we're going to go in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and your income is going to be taxed. So I don't want to hear anyone whining in 3 or 4 or 5 years. If you support this, like, yeah, make the rich pay their fair share, this is great. And then you're whining in 3, 4, 5 years when it's an income tax on you. I am not going to feel bad for you because we've warned you. This is all of their statements. The only conclusion you can make is that they're going to turn this millionaire's tax into an income tax on everyone. And so I will have no sympathy for people who are middle class, who are poor, and who all of a sudden, on top of all the other taxes that they're paying, all the other burdens they have, all of a sudden have to give the government 10%, the state government, 10% of their income. One other thing, when we talk about Democrats trying to position themselves as the party of the working class, which is just the craziest thing. First of all, I don't think either political party works for the working class. Let me be clear. And it's why I refuse to belong to one. The political parties work for themselves. First and foremost, they don't work for the working class. They don't work for the poor. But in the state of Washington, I can tell you there's one party doing a better job of actually trying to advocate for hardworking people who are just trying to get by. And it is not the Democratic Party. So it's crazy to me that they've fooled people into believing that. That like Republicans are the party of the rich and Democrats are the party of the working class. So Republicans tried to push an amendment. 694. And it would have done something very simple. It would have put an amendment in this thing that said, hey, if we're going to pass this gigantic new tax, the largest tax in a century, let's at least throw in some modest tax breaks for people trying to start a family. Let's, like, not tax diapers. That's a small thing, right? You're going to get all this money from millionaires. Let's just not tax diapers. Here are some of the comments that Republicans made in favor of this very, very small tax break for people who have babies.
A tax break for something like diapers could really be beneficial to these families struggling to feed their kids, struggling to get them to a daycare.
It pales in comparison to the tax increase. It's a very small percentage. And frankly, while I agree that some of these tax breaks for large corporations that are built into the bill and built into the amendments will ultimately have some impact on regular folks in Washington, they're two or three steps removed. They're mostly aimed at large corporations. This amendment would get directly after the cost of living in our state.
I think we ought to go even farther than that and exempt everything that has to do with taking care of babies, 5 years old and under, strollers, backpacks, Desitin, baby bottles, etc. That's the kind of tax relief we should be looking instead of raising taxes. So I urge your support on this amendment.
So those sound like people who care about, you know, working class families, right? So, hey, let's just try to take some burden off people who are trying to start a family, because Democrats say they're doing this millionaires tax to help the working class. So this is a great idea. Listen to how aggressively Democrats scream no in rejecting this amendment.
There are no further remarks. The question before the Senate is adoption of amendment number 0694. As many are in favor, will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Appear to have it. The noes have it. The amendment is not adopted.
Those are Democrats screaming no to giving parents a tax break on diapers. And then they claim that they're doing this tax on millionaires to help the working class. Yet they're all screaming no to give a tax break for new parents on the cost of diapers. It's just wild. And, you know, we've said what's going to happen with the millionaires tax. I mean, even Gavin Newsom down in California, look how many billionaires they're losing because voters there are going to decide in November whether to have this tax on billionaires. And it's retroactive. So the billionaires are like, I'm getting the hell out of here. And they've lost a ton of wealth, billions of dollars in wealth. And even Gavin Newsom has said, yeah, I mean, we're going to continue to see all this capital flight from our state. But for some reason, when it comes to the millionaires tax, Democrats are refusing to acknowledge the very clear reality that if you target a population of people for taxation, especially people who have enough money to leave, that they're going to leave. Maybe not all of them, but a lot of them are going to leave. And Democrats act like, nah, no, probably not. While simultaneously, they're acknowledging that an estate tax increase they passed just last year is causing rich people to leave. I kid you not, this is an article in the Seattle Times. Why Democrats consider retreat on estate tax, fearing wealth exodus. Oh my God. I mean, I don't know if they're stupid or if they just have no moral consistency or they just make things up as they go along. So last year, you'll recall that the legislature, Democrats, passed massive increases to Washington State's estate tax, where the wealthiest tax bracket in our state had to pay, you'd have to pay 35% when you die, basically. The government's going to take 35% of everything you own. And what did common sense people say at the time when they were looking at an increase in the estate tax? What do we say? Well, people are not going to die here anymore. They're going to go die somewhere else so they don't have to give 35% of everything they've worked hard for to the government to squander. And Democrats didn't listen. They did it anyway. And now, oh my gosh, they're starting to realize that we were right. It says Democrats in the state legislature have generally dismissed warnings that new taxes on the very wealthy might lead multimillionaires to flee to lower tax states. But some are now acknowledging that one tax the rich policy they approved last year, a big increase in Washington's top estate tax rates, may have backfired. Lawmakers are moving quietly to roll back the changes, which boosted the tax rate on the wealthiest estates to 35%, by far the highest in the country. Senate Majority Leader Jamie Peterson said lawmakers have heard anecdotally there are a lot of people looking at redomiciling themselves, moving their legal residences to other states to avoid Washington's estate tax. You don't say. God, if only someone had told them that that is what is going to happen. We did. They ignored it. They passed the estate tax increase, and now they're trying to backtrack. So let's apply that situation to the current millionaires tax. We're telling you what's going to happen. You're ignoring it. You're going to pass it anyway. And it's exactly what's going to happen. The Seattle Times goes on to talk about this bill to undo the estate tax increase, Senate Bill 6347. It's being fast-tracked in the Senate with little fanfare. It was introduced February 4th and passed through the Ways and Means Committee 5 days later with virtually no debate, setting up a potential full Senate vote this week. So they're doing this, you know, they passed the increase in the estate tax very publicly. And now they're like quietly have been trying to push through to undo the damage they did and hoping that no one will notice and people have noticed. So there's no difference in these two logical lines of thought. You did the estate tax on the rich, they started to leave, and now you're undoing it. So let's just apply that. Let's use our noggins, Democrats. Let's apply that to the millionaire's tax. They're going to leave. The best thing to do is to stop this in its tracks, get your spending under control. We have more than enough money to pay for really everything that you want to pay for, above and beyond the core functions of government. And let's just forget about a tax that will ruin Washington State's business economy, which is already on the brink. We'll talk about that coming up next. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, redomiciling maybe even elsewhere, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. So one of the things he started doing about 10 years ago is he started pre-inspections on listings. He says, you know, we decided to take this proactive approach to preparing listings, and over 90% of buyers on his listings use the pre-listing inspection. So it often allows for folks to waive the inspection contingency, which reduces renegotiations, repair requests that come up at the last minute, and contract fallout. He says, I've been doing it 10 years. It has significantly improved outcomes for my clients. So that goes hand in hand, I think, also with his Listing Boost concierge service, where let's say you've got a pre-inspection, they notice some things. He can take care of all that with their Listing Boost concierge service, even cosmetic upgrades, and you don't have to pay for it till closing. So it's all just about taking stress and uncertainty out of the home selling process. So reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, there's no doubt Washington State's business climate is bleak, even if they don't pass the millionaire's tax, which I think is very unlikely. I believe that they've set their sights on it and they're going to do it this session. But even if you don't consider that, last year, Washington State and Governor Bob Ferguson passed the largest increase, tax increase in state history, much of that on the backs of businesses. It comes after the capital gains tax was passed. So we already have businesses fleeing. And if the millionaire's tax goes through, Washington State will overnight become the worst state in the nation to do business. This segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that and get involved this legislative session. All right, a lot of media picking this up. It's hard for Democrats to ignore. The Association of Washington Business, as you know, they put out this survey that showed that a ton of Washington business owners are already considering, before the millionaire's tax, already considering leaving the state. 44% of business leaders consider moving their residents out of Washington State. I mean, headline after headline after headline about how bad things are for Washington business. There was also this article in the Las Vegas Review Journal, Migration of Wealth. Rich California and Washington residents are flocking to Las Vegas. It says that wealthy individuals from California and Washington coming to the Las Vegas Valley to escape tax policies and politics from their home states, according to several Las Vegas area real estate agents. One of them called it a full-scale migration of wealth, and he pointed to multiple events which are driving Washington residents to come to Las Vegas. He points to Seattle recently electing the socialist mayor, Katie Wilson, who campaigned on taxing the rich, and then the proposed millionaire's tax that's been endorsed by Washington's governor also brings up the fact that Washington implemented a tax on capital gains back in 2022, which levies a 7 to almost 10% charge on investment properties. So there's all of these things that are just stacking up. And he says the last 90 days in particular, they've seen an uptick in Washington residents relocating to Henderson, Nevada specifically. He said, starting in about September, we all of a sudden started seeing all these people from Seattle, and it's just grown since then. So we are at a time for choosing in Washington State. Do we want to be a state that attracts business, that attracts investment, that attracts wealth? Or do we want to be a state that struggles year after year financially? Those are the only two choices. For better or worse, our state and Seattle found success in tech. That's where we are. To rebuild that as the backbone of our economy at this stage would be very, very difficult to do, not to mention all the jobs Boeing is now moving out of the state. all the sectors that made our state a very wealthy place, where they can afford to spend your tax money on giving laser hair removal for transgender inmates, all of the factors in the industries that led us to have a budget so big that Democrats could basically spend money on anything on their wish list, all of those sectors are threatened if we continue down the path that we're on. We had on Sundays with Subscribers this week, Morgan Irwin, who's with the Association of Washington Businesses. And he said, you know, for all the talk of the rich, for all the vilification of the Amazons and the Microsofts of the world and all big business, the millionaires' tax in particular is going to have a profound impact on businesses that might be generating a lot of revenue, but whose business owners aren't taking home a lot of revenue because they have basically passed through. So I've given this as my example. If you've never run a business, which this is the problem, right? Too many Democratic lawmakers in Washington state have never worked in the private sector at all, have never run a business. They literally don't understand how it works and they don't care to learn. And so you could have, let's just say, a plumbing company, and you need a lot of money on hand to cover a few months of payroll, to cover it in case there's an emergency. But whatever you leave in your business account at the end of the year is included as your income. And so they might be paying themselves, you know, $300,000 a year, let's say, as a business owner. But God forbid they leave enough money in their account to make sure that their business can survive and weather economic times. Just like that, they're a millionaire. Just like that, they're taxed as a millionaire under the millionaire's tax, and Democrats refuse to give them a carve-out. Here's Morgan Irwin with AWB. One of the most compelling things to me was the small business owners who got on camera or got up there and said, look, I'm not a millionaire, you know, far from it, but I would be taxed under this because of the money I keep in my business account. And I did see some Democrats on the dais sort of like, oh, okay. Do you think that's something that there could be a carve-out for?
So for, and maybe you've gone over this with your viewers and mm-hmm. watched a lot of your shows, but not all of them, but the specific piece that those small businesses are talking about is that if you are you can pick a couple of different tax structures yeah. as a business. You can be a C corp, and those are usually your larger corporations, but they can be small. That's usually where you see that. You can be a limited liability corporation. You can be a partnership, a sole proprietorship, or an S corporation. For all the ones other than the C corp, when you do your taxes, your business revenue comes through your personal taxes and kind of looks like personal income. And so that's really where those small businesses are saying, like, hold on, that's my total business revenue. That's not my total business profitability. And if it is my total business profitability, I still have reserves I have to take out of that profit that I keep in my business to invest in my business so that I can continue to grow. I've got to repair things. I need a new roof. I need to buy a new truck. I need to build a new building, whatever that is. So those are not, that's not necessarily personal income, but under this income tax proposal, it would be viewed that way. So an example, if you're a $1 million a year company or even a $10 million a year company, which sounds like a lot of money, but I mean, if you own 5 coffee stands, you're probably close to $5 million annually. Like, this is not some massive corporation just when you're trying to conceptualize it in your mind. If you've got somebody like that, and yeah, they've got a couple million dollars a year in sales, but their profitability is only in the maybe $250,000 range, and then we hit them with a 10% tax on top of that, by the time they're trying to pay themselves, they're out of money. And like, yes, it looks like big numbers, but that's not real income. Yeah. And this bill would capture that for those smaller corporations. Now, just credit where it's due. Jamie Peterson has some carve-outs in there where they're not trying to double tax, like with capital gains, they're not trying to double tax B&O. But end of the day, S corporations and LLCs will really take this one in the ear, and it will be devastating to a lot of small to mid-sized businesses here in Washington State, which, if we listen to the political rhetoric, are supposed to be the people we're trying to protect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just doesn't.
And you haven't heard any sort of recognition of that from Democrats yet, that that's going to hurt people that maybe we don't intend to as like rich millionaires?
Noel Frame in a budget talk 2 weeks ago, she does those every 2 weeks mm-hmm. with a group of business lobbyists. She said, guys, this is going to capture pass-through income and there is no way around it.
Wow. Okay.
So I do think that there is some concern, but I think for the folks that are really pushing this bill, they think getting the policy on the books is more important than the short-term repercussions.
Yeah, so they don't care. They literally don't care. And those are the businesses that can move. I mean, if you have a plumbing company, I'm just using that as an example, you've built a client base here. You've built a reputation here. That is a very hard business to pick up and move. So they want to vilify the big corporations. The big corporations are the ones who can deal with a lot of this, can absorb a lot of this, or can pass the costs on very easy to consumers, which that's what most of them are doing, according to the AWB survey. And so all you're doing with this millionaire's tax, you're taking revenue out of the state, all the tax revenue that you're going to get from people who are wealthy, the people who you claim you're trying to target. So that money is going to go away. It's probably going to be a net negative. You're going to hurt the small businesses and the mid-sized businesses who can't afford to move. And then when all that revenue, you're not collecting as much as you thought you're going to collect, it's going to fall on all of you. And they're going to increase the taxes that they say are so damaging to the middle class to try to cover it for all. Actually, what they'll do is they'll come back, and that's when they'll justify expanding the income tax to everyone. Because they'll say, oh, the greedy millionaires fled, and now we have no choice. We have to make it an income tax on everyone. There are very few Democrats who are willing to tell the truth about what's happening here. Now, there were three Democrats in the Senate who voted against the millionaires tax yesterday. They're all from swing districts, so I think that was their party giving them some cover for the next election to be able to say, oh, I voted against the millionaires tax. I don't know what's really in their heart, if they support it or don't support it, but three of them voted against it. And then there is this state representative, a Democrat, Addison Richards, who represents Gig Harbor, and he wrote an op-ed in the News Tribune, and this he represents a swing district as well. So I always am sort of like, do they mean it? Do they not mean it? Is this to keep their seat? But I'll give him credit for this. He writes an op-ed, Washington legislature must deliver on affordability. He said, I know a lot of folks are concerned about the budget, especially recognizing that our state tax system is unfair. I also hear concerns that we seem to address affordability with new taxes. Now we have proposals to create a millionaire's income tax and a payroll tax on successful businesses and successful people. I hear from people left, right, and center on the political spectrum who all seem to agree that our tax system is broken. However, these new taxes are not the solution. We should not pass any new taxes, especially when they are simply another bandage to treat the reality that we are chasing billion-dollar deficits every year and threaten to chase investment and jobs out of our state. Our tax system needs change. It needs to be more fair. But a new tax that does not reduce taxes for the middle class or businesses and handle our cost drivers is not fair. It is just another tax to bandage a budget that has grown from roughly $26 billion to nearly $80 billion over the past 15 years. I give him a lot of credit for that. And look, that used to be a fairly popular opinion among liberal Democrats that considered themselves and were very proud to be pro-business. What has happened? It is just bizarre. Now, I hope that there are enough Democrats in the state house to come to their senses, to see what's happening in California, to see what happened with the estate tax increase that they're now unwinding, and to finally take these concerns seriously and look internally and say, gosh, our budget has ballooned. Maybe it's an us problem. Maybe it's a spending problem. And we don't need new taxes after all. I think the chances are pretty slim, but they've got to do something because meanwhile, the states where people are moving to, Texas, Florida, I mean, DeSantis came out and said, we're never going to have an income tax here. One of the other states that we know is very popular for people to flee Washington to, Tennessee. And what is the state of Tennessee doing right now? Governor wants a constitutional ban on a state property tax in the state of Tennessee. So you have these states that are trying to make it more appealing to come to. Well, Washington state is making it more appealing to flee from. Does not take a rocket scientist to tell you what's going to happen if we continue down this path. That segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to get involved this legislative session and make your voice heard. All right, coming up next, an event was scheduled in Edmonds to have a conversation about protecting girls' sports. Tickets were sold and everything, canceled at the last minute. Can't say I'm surprised. We'll discuss it in our segment, Unbelievable. First, if you are thinking about getting a new roof, or let's say you already used our sponsors at Valentine Roofing to get a new roof or new siding, well, for the month of February, it is Valentine Roofing Month, after all. They have expanded their customer referral program through the end of February. So now, just until the end of the month, which is coming up quick, when you refer friends or family for a new roof or siding, you'll earn your choice of a free maintenance service or get a $250 gift card. So if you used Valentine for any service, like I had them come out and clean my gutters and inspect my roof, and you want to refer a friend that wants a new roof or new siding, you can get a free maintenance service or a $250 gift card, which I think is awesome. And you can always be confident that when you're referring your loved ones, they're going to get the Valentine experience. Seamless communication, meticulous cleanup, extra mile service, even in winter weather. And I know for a lot of homeowners, the thought of having to pay to replace your roof is like the worst thing you have to do as a homeowner. Sometimes it's unavoidable, though. That's the reality of owning a home. But they have really great flexible financing options, payments as low as $159 a month and zero down. So a Valentine roof is a roof built around everyone's budget. So schedule your free estimate today with Valentine 206 Roofing, 206 Roofing. And if you use them for any one of their many services, make sure that you also refer a friend who might be in need of a new roof or siding to cash in on that referral bonus. All right, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. Right. Maybe you were planning to attend this. There was a scheduled event that was supposed to happen March 14th, put on by a group called Title IX Edmonds, run by a woman called Jess Grant. And they were going to have an event called Should Boys Be Allowed to Compete in Girls' Sports? Like, just a conversation. Just going to be a nice little discussion. Oh, Jess Grant is a man. Sorry. Nicole put in here, Jess is a man. I apologize. Jess Grant of Title IX Edmonds. So it was going to be at the Edmonds Waterfront Center, just going to be a conversation. Frances Stout, high school athlete, was going to be there. Our friend Alicia Perkins with OSD Rescue was going to be there. Tickets already sold. A psychologist was going to be there to discuss. It said, Title IX Edmonds is dedicated to ensuring fairness in women's and girls' athletics. Title IX itself talks about the background of it, has come under attack as state policymakers like the WA Interscholastic Activities Association, the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, create rules that allow males to compete in girls' sports. We seek a return to fair competition and an end to male encroachment through education and organizing in our schools, dot, dot, dot. So you get what the whole event was about. It was going to be at the Edmonds Waterfront Center. Well, yesterday, Jess got an email notifying her that the venue was canceling the contract for the event. This was from Daniel Johnson, Chief Executive Officer of the Edmonds Waterfront Center. Dear Jess, I'm writing to inform you that the Edmonds Waterfront Center is unable to fulfill the contract for your March 14th event. After careful review and in accordance with the cancellation clause in the rental agreement, we're issuing you a full refund of all payments made. We apologize for any inconvenience this might have caused. And Nicole, is this, she followed up and said, why? And he said, the safety and security of our members and guests is a top priority. When you made the rental booking, you did not share the nature of the event or that you intended to hire security. This was sufficient evidence that you anticipated potential conflict. Since we have multiple events and classes going on in the building at any given time, we determined that because of the potential disruption, the EWC is not the appropriate venue for your event. Yeah, that's not what happened. They had people complain. All the transphobes, you know that that's what happened. All the transphobes are going to host an event there. You've got to cancel it. I guarantee 100%. And he says, when you made the rental booking, you didn't share the nature of your event. The event has already been publicized and tickets were sold as should boys be allowed to compete in girls' sports. You didn't know the nature of the event. And the only reason they have to hire security for events like that is because the left is absolutely unhinged on this issue. And so it should be a good thing that they are out of an abundance of caution. And why would you punish them? Like, that's giving the left exactly what they want. Is you can create a threatening environment. It's the heckler's veto. You can create a threatening environment where people you disagree with can't even host events without hiring security. And then they're the ones who get their events canceled because there's concerns about whether they'll be safe. Happens all the time. And again, there's going to be a teen athlete there, psychologist, a group of people discussing, you know, should boys be allowed in girls' sports? No, not in the city of Edmonds, which if you're not familiar, is a pretty progressive place in Washington State. I guarantee. And that's the thing. I wish that people would just be honest. And yes, I don't believe him. I don't believe him that he didn't know the nature of the event. I think that they found an excuse to cancel it because people got mad and sent mean messages. It's just absolutely ridiculous that we're not beyond that point. And we reached out as well, and he gave us the same excuse, that they didn't understand the nature of the event, and the fact that they needed private security was an indicator that it was maybe going to get out of control. Just wild. All right, we'll get to some national news coming up next, including yet another transgender shooter. Like, we need to have a serious conversation about this. It's not bigoted or transphobic to do so. First, are we in a tech bubble, an AI bubble? Could the future of AI impact your retirement? If you're concerned about any of that, reach out to our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital to find out if your portfolio is positioned for these financial uncertainties. He and his team will talk about how they incorporate value-based principles in managing retirement portfolios and do a full reveal of how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So schedule your free Know Your Risk portfolio review and subscribe to Zach's daily market recap, both at knowyourriskpodcast.com. That's knowyourriskpodcast.com. All right, this is an absolutely crazy story. So you guys heard about this shooting at this hockey game? Wild. Transgender father Robert Dorgan, ID'd as Rhode Island hockey shooter who gunned down family as his sick posts revealed. So I saw some of the video, like they're literally at this youth hockey thing, comes in, shoots people, including his own family. Police identified the gunman who killed two people and critically injured three others at a high school hockey game in Rhode Island Monday afternoon as Robert Dorgan, a transgender dad who railed against anti-trans hate in family legal disputes and deranged social media rants. The 56-year-old father who shot four family members and a family friend before he turned the gun on himself following the deadly rampage used the female alias Roberta Esposito, according to the Pawtucket police chief. They said, we've identified the person, the suspect, by a birth name. We've also learned that the person goes by the name Roberta and uses the last name Esposito. So they at least acknowledge, like, look, this is a dude that has a female identity. And I can't even show you some of the crazy images of this guy. Like, he would ride around on motorcycles in a thong bikini. It's just strange. And I'm sorry, like, that's, it's a mental, that, I've said this before, I don't know the mysteries of the universe. I don't know if there is some rewiring weird thing that happens where you're literally born with like the mind of a female and the body of a male. I don't know the mysteries of the universe, so I'm not going to rule that out. But I do think that there are some people who lean into this sort of gender dysphoria, and it is absolutely a mental illness. I mean, this guy is like 300 pounds riding around with thong underwear on a motorcycle. It's bizarre. And then you see in these social media posts, so he'd been very active on social media leading up to the shooting. And he, I mean, totally deranged. He responded to our friend Andy No. He did a story about a trans activist charged with a stabbing. And he responded to Andy No, who's gay and Asian. He said, Gaysians are more likely to commit a crime. Post that stat. And then there, Kevin Sorbo had posted about Congressman McBride, who's actually a man, and Roberta responded, keep bashing us, but do not wonder why we go berserk. So was just responding to all these things with some really violent rhetoric on social media. I mean, very clear that he was having a mental health crisis. And yes, we have seen a pretty concerning string of trans identifying people committing violent crimes. Here's the shooter's surviving daughter.
My father was a shooter.
What happened?
Shot my family. And he's dead now.
What was the reasoning? Was there a family argument?
He has mental health issues. So.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? Yeah, he has mental health issues. Like, look, I don't agree that some people have suggested that if you're trans or you have gender dysphoria, you shouldn't have access to a firearm. As someone who believes in the Second Amendment, I have a hard time saying we should just, you know, take a whole swath of the population and say no guns for you, because then the other side will do that to like Trump supporters. Oh, Trump supporters are mentally ill. No guns for you. So we just can't go down that slippery slope. But I think we have to start to be honest about what's going on with some of these individuals. And you look, you take one look at his picture and you know he's mentally ill. And I do think that there are different shades of people who suffer from gender dysphoria. You know, I think that there are young kids who are being radicalized by adults in their lives, and that's very, very unfortunate, and being led to believe that the way they were born is not okay, and they've got to go through all these really severe medical procedures. I mean, I don't think those are kids who are mentally ill. I think those are kids who are being influenced by the internet, influenced by friends groups, influenced by radicalized adults. But then someone like this, who, how old did they say he was? 56 years old, something like that. I mean, he was obviously, and his daughter said, having a mental health emergency. So no more tiptoeing around this issue. There is a serious issue with violence when it comes to the trans community. All right. I haven't really talked a lot about the Epstein files. I guess because I do a show focused on West Coast politics and there's a million other people talking about the Epstein files. So there are, you know, the Department of Justice says we've released them all. And they've released a whole list of names of people who are kind of listed in the Epstein files. CNN had a headline, Justice Department lists hundreds of prominent people named in Epstein files in a letter to Congress. I got to be honest. I don't care if your name is in the Epstein files. This is getting so out of hand. I don't care if you knew Jeffrey Epstein. I don't care if you exchanged some emails with Jeffrey Epstein. All I care about is if you knew what he was doing and did nothing, or if you were part of the grotesque criminal behavior he was involved in. But now it's like someone's name pops up in the Epstein files, like, cancel him. I mean, and even the right is doing this too, because Pramila Jayapal's name, Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, her name shows up in the Epstein files. She's not accused of any wrongdoing. There was a state lawmaker who used to be an assistant for someone. Her name popped up in the Epstein files. There's a top lawyer at a Goldman Sachs who I think used to work in the Obama administration. She's in there and she's calling him like Uncle Jeffrey and stuff. But again, weird. But did she know what was happening and not say anything? Or did they were they involved in what was happening? This whole like we have to absolutely call out, force them to quit their jobs. Anyone who over the period of what, 25 years, had an exchange with Jeffrey Epstein? It's getting honestly out of hand. So Whoopi Goldberg was in the Epstein files. And I understand that like Democrats are like, I love how they're accusing the Trump administration of not being transparent on the Epstein files. Zero Epstein files were released by Biden. Like 3 million Epstein files have been released under the Trump administration. And they're like, oh, they're not transparent. And I don't 100% agree with the handling of Pam Bondi with the Epstein files and everything that went down there. But, you know, Republicans, every time there's a Democrat's name mentioned the Epstein files, they're like, oh, this didn't turn out well for you. And Whoopi Goldberg, you know, makes a good point about this, about her name being in there.
My name is in the files.
Yes.
So
in other words, anybody can be on this
Anybody's
list.
Well, this is my point, because I'm telling you, when I tell you people are trying to turn me into, I wasn't his girlfriend. They're trying to get me to get on a plane to get to this thing for Julian Lett.
Yeah, but the thing is they dropped like 300 names.
Yes.
And it's like flood the zone, because when you're looking, there are people like Marilyn Monroe, who was dead.
Elvis.
Yeah, a lot of people, because a lot of the reasons your name can be mentioned are news articles, third-party emails, contacts. Again, wealthy, famous people often cross in professional and social circles, so that's not the surprising part.
Then why have you been losing it over Trump? Oh, Trump's name's in the... Whoopi is doing exactly to Donald Trump what the right is doing to her now, because her name's in the Epstein files. There is no one who has made an actual allegation of wrongdoing about President Donald Trump. And as they say there, oh, wealthy people, they run in these circles. Of course they do. Bring me some evidence that someone colluded or knew what he was doing and covered up. I mean, there was a story, and I'll give the mainstream news credit because they covered it. But like Donald Trump in 2006, when he found out Jeffrey Epstein was under investigation in Florida, like personally called that local police chief and said, hey, you know, I'm glad you guys are finally investigating him. People have been raising alarm bells on this. Thanks for taking it seriously. And said he was like a sick puppy or something. So like, look, I don't care if somebody's name is in the Epstein files. It's like, let's focus on the people who actually did something wrong. Let's focus on the people who knew exactly what he was doing and said nothing. Those are the people I have a problem with. I'm just so over it at this point. All right, we're going to get to our subscriber show poll, which is the poll I promised you yesterday that I'd do today, and some comments from the live stream. First, we have so many undivided viewers and listeners who are now members of the First Mark family and use First Mark for all your insurance needs, personal, professional. And then there are undivided viewers and listeners who have taken the First Mark challenge, and First Mark turned away their business, basically said, hey, you actually have great insurance. I'd keep that insurance that you have. We had Dave Taylor with First Mark Insurance in the studio recently, and I asked him about that. That to me is a sign of an honest company, where you're gonna say, hey, we can't beat that. You've got great insurance at a great price. I would keep it.
Yeah, and if I can just say this really clearly, we are good with that.
Yeah.
We are okay with that, mm-hmm. right? Because we believe there's three things that every customer should have. They should have the right coverage. They should have it at the most affordable price possible, and they should get great service. If they're getting all three of those things where they are, then they should stay there, right? They're in a good place.
Yeah, they're in a good place. And again, that's the sign of an honest business. If you're like Robin, Debbie, Connie, so many members of the Undivided family who have joined First Mark, you could be saving hundreds of dollars a month or thousands of dollars a year just by making that phone call. Or you'll find out that you have great insurance and you don't need to do a dang thing. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. So they always have your best interest in mind. All right, our daily subscriber show poll, exclusive to paid subscribers on Patreon, Locals, and X. I asked you who you would prefer as the 2028 GOP presidential nominee, and I said only two options, Vance and Rubio. I didn't give you a separate option because I want to gauge the support for if this was sort of the decision, because I gave my opinion on the show yesterday that after his performance in Munich and really so many other things he's doing, I just really think Rubio is more well-equipped for the presidency. But, you know, it's this like, well, he's the VP, so he kind of goes next. Nicole?
I agree, Rubio.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just more prepared. He's been there. He just seems more prepared.
Probably more appeal to those swing yes. voters as well. I mean, wasn't his nomination approved like either 99-1 or 100-0? And so, you know, because he used to be in the Senate and they respect his work. And so they can't really vilify him, I think. And the left might be able to more easily kind of tie Vance to Trump and keep up this TDS sort of thing that a lot of voters have going on. 64% of you say Rubio. Well, poor JD. He could do. There's no limit to the vice presidency, right? You could be right. The vice president again, right?
Oh. You know what? I don't know.
I think you can.
It seems like you could.
I think you can. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Gosh, that's really something I should know. Well, a little AOC moment there, not knowing if you can serve more than two terms as vice president.
But I do think that he's young. He's got lots of time. We can come back to him.
Totally. They're both really young. Uneducated white woman says, nice screen name. Love them both. If Vance is VP for the next two terms, it will give him the opportunity to get much more experience. Yeah, he was elevated pretty quickly. And frankly, I felt the same way about Kamala Harris. They had kind of similar backgrounds, were only in their first term in the Senate. And then it was like, all of a sudden, you know, you're being elevated. Sherry, both are excellent candidates. I love Vance, but I think Rubio is more palatable to the moderate Republicans and even moderate Democrats. Unfortunately, true or not, Vance has been portrayed as MAGA, which will turn off moderates. But let's be clear. They will paint Rubio as a MAGA Trump ass kisser because
when
that
is
their thing. They're not going to let it go. It doesn't matter who it is. I mean, who's the most like anti-Trump Republican you can think of?
Marjorie Taylor Greene?
No. Why am I forgetting the Wyoming? Oh, Liz Cheney.
Okay.
Like, even if it was her, they would find a way to tie her to Donald Trump because they just have nothing else. It's very embarrassing.
And there is no limit on the vice president.
Oh, there isn't. Oh, yeah, good. Google. Wow. I really feel stupid for not having known that. What a dummy. Let's see. Matthew Cook says, I voted Rubio. I like Vance, but he's a little too isolationist for my taste. Don's wife. Vance seems more balanced and thoughtful than Rubio. Hopefully he will stay that way. Rubio is too much of a war hawk.
Oh, geez.
Preventing war, you guys. Preventing war. Yeah, 60% about saying Rubio. So that's interesting. We'll see if it comes down to that.
Interesting to not have, you know, he's got a little color in him. And I think that's what we need.
You talk about like literally color?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So he's I think that would be good for the party.
Wow. So. Are you suggesting that we should elevate people based on skin pigmentation?
No, I think smarts, number one.
Yeah, he's qualified.
He's more qualified, but I also think that would be good for the party as far as electability. And like I said yesterday, you have to get some of the other side.
Yeah.
And that would help.
But they like don't even, I mean, look at the first lady and the second lady. Two, like an immigrant, a woman of color, and they're still treated like trash from the left. So they only care about diversity when it's diversity on their side and they can virtue signal over it.
It was pretty funny to read some of the criticisms of his speech and how they tied it to Trump. They said, oh, that was so Trump. That was so Trump.
It's annoying.
But it was so good. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah. All right. Some comments from the live stream on the male wrestler dropping out of state. Big Princess says, isn't it sad that we have to use the words real girl in this day and age? Yeah. And people are saying, Brandy, don't say biological girl. Just say girl. Or don't say biological boy. And it's like, yeah, but I have to make a
clear distinction
that they are saying they're trans, right? Or else it doesn't make sense. Kenton, the guy dropping out doesn't give the girls another chance to win their previous competitions after he pinned them in the ring. Yeah, I mean, you know, in Callie Keeler's case, she just threw the match because she didn't want to continue. And so she doesn't get that win back. Let's see. On the millionaires tax clearing the Senate, Danielle says, I don't want income taxes in Washington state at all. It's opening gates that we never wanted and directly violates our state constitution. Right. If you want an income tax, you can do a flat 1%. You can do that. But you don't do that. Why? Or you can go to voters and ask them to change the state constitution. But you don't do that. Why? Instead, you try to push forward something that you know is blatantly unconstitutional, that the state Supreme Court is progressive enough to uphold. And you got to do it that way because you know people don't want it. Bruce, what I hear is it's an envy tax. They have more money than me and I want to use it where I see fit. Millionaires spend their money on homes and cars and restaurants and everywhere they are taxed, only more. Right. I mean, they contribute a ton. This idea that like they're being greedy and hoarding their wealth, it's like most millionaires got there because they're job creators. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are some who maybe made some lucky investments or whatever it is, or family money. I get it. But most of them are job creators. They contribute far more to the economy than they take. All right, Ted Fredericks, I don't believe for a moment that Lovelett has someone in her life who may soon be living on the street unless we pass a millionaire's tax. I don't believe it either.
No.
Or is, and what she said specifically is because they have to choose between being home, having a home and paying for their medication. Okay. We spend billions of dollars trying to keep people out of homelessness in the state. If you're telling me that she can't get some help, and that's the kind of help I actually support. And also Trump RX. Trump just launched his Trump RX, right, which Democrats should support. So let's get some help. I do agree. Everyone agrees, I think, that the cost of prescription medication is insane. And Trump literally called Elizabeth Warren to try to, was it on that or credit cards? Either way, he's now passed put this Trump RX thing into place, right, to try to bring down the cost of prescription drugs. So rather than work against him on everything, embrace that, say, hey, this is one of these things we've been complaining about. People shouldn't have to go broke to pay for their prescription medication. Let's, I don't know, work together on it.
Right.
It's such a foreign concept.
If something's broken, that doesn't mean get more money from this person to deal with it. If it's, you know, maybe you have to spend differently. If you can't spend as much at the grocery store, then you can get help getting groceries. Or I mean, there's, you have to be creative here, people.
There is help for people who really are down on their luck. It's just, and you're not fixing it that way. You're saying, oh, we'll just tax more. We're not going to fix the fact that if this story is true, her prescription meds are so much that she's going to be homeless. We won't fix that. We'll just put a Band-Aid on it by taking more tax money from people. It's the stupidest thing. On the Democrats admitting they made a mistake with the estate tax, Mike says, I now live in Idaho because of the death tax that my mother's estate paid. People, they already lost people to this, to the estate tax. On the business climate, just bleaker by the day, West Coast Warriors says, I hope every profitable large company moves out. Sergeant Pickles, the businesses that stay will be the Democrat-approved ones that get tax handouts to stay open. Yeah.
Isn't it funny that they say, oh, people were leaving, so we, you know, I mean, those are just people that are getting taxed and they're dead.
Yes.
And then, like, you don't think the alive people are gonna leave? Like,
right. I just can't.
It's wild to me their reasoning and hearing all their quotes about why they're doing this. They're rolling back this estate tax one, but not.
It's like,
then on the same breath,
I could use their quotes on that to argue against the millionaires tax.
100%. Yes.
Wild.
They fit perfectly.
Wow. Some super chats today. Snarky Distinct. Interesting. $100 super chat? Man. Wow. Thank you, Brandy. I dread this state's future and how long it takes for people to wake up. I agree, but I want to retire here at least part-time, so we got to try to make it better. Chuck Heller initiating the No King Ferguson Rally Fund. Oh, speaking of No King, the signs came down at the ferry terminal. I had someone who lives over there walk down and go check. The No King's anti-Trump signs were actually taken down at the Bainbridge Island ferry terminal. I deliver, as I said, I deliver on the important stuff. Bill Biz, Brandy, here in Bainbridge, progressive virtue signaling is a favorite island pastime, second only to pickleball. But there are few of us right-wing extremists lurking about behind enemy lines. Then Bill Biz, why didn't you tear down the Trump signs at the ferry terminal? Surely you saw them. I paid a visit there once and saw them.
Oh, I'm going to watch for his response there.
Yes. Ronald Spin says, excellent journalism. Thank you so much. And then this is a really sad one. Do you remember this? So Old Sub Sailor commented, hello, Undivided Family. Some of you might remember a picture Nicole posted on his birthday a few years ago. Just to let you know, my dad passed last Friday. He loved this show, his God, his family, and his nation. He was 95 years old. I do remember you sending us a picture of your dad. I think he was wearing one of our hats. Or make Common Sense Great Again hats.
Yeah,
I feel like maybe. Mm-hmm. So he passed last week. I'm so sorry about that. I am so sorry to hear that. And thank you so much for letting us know. All right. Let's get to our closing sanity check in just a moment. Speaking of the millionaire's tax, first, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, you really should be a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Group of people you can commiserate with. Number one, they have events all around the state that are fun and informative. I would know because I've been invited to a couple of them. I've spoken to the RHA a couple times. And then they're down in Olympia trying to stop bad policy. And they just had a big success with stopping the proposed increases on the cost of short-term rentals, which is great because those fees are already just through the roof. So they're down there advocating on your behalf and then advocating for you personally. If you run into an issue where you're confused about local, county, state laws, you know, rent control, whether you're doing things the way you need to be doing it, the RHA can help you with that. And their yearly membership fee is only like $260 a year. So I think that's a pretty good deal for the services they offer. RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org, Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. All right. The socialist commie Mamdani, he wants his hands on rich people's money. New York is interesting because there's actually a lot of things that New York City needs permission from the state to do, and that like Kathy Hochul in that regard has to actually approve. So there's been some tension between things Mamdani wants, the new mayor of New York City, and what Kathy Hochul is willing to do. So he unveiled Mamdani, his preliminary budget. Oh, you want me to do a sounder? Mm. Let's get to our closing sanity check. Sorry. Nicole's like, hello. Hello. So he's saying either he's basically giving the governor of New York an ultimatum. Either you tax the rich or we're going to make life a living hell for New Yorkers.
I know that for those who have watched budget after budget, it is tempting to assume that we are engaging in the same dance as our predecessors. Let me assure you, nothing about this is typical. That's why our solutions won't be either. There are two paths to bridge this gap. The first is the most sustainable and the fairest path. This is the path of ending the drain on our city and raising taxes on the richest New Yorkers and the most profitable corporations. The onus for resolving this crisis should not be placed on the backs of working and middle-class New Yorkers.
It should be on your back.
If we do not fix this structural imbalance and do not heed the calls of New Yorkers to raise taxes on the wealthy, this crisis will not disappear. It will simply return. Year after year, forcing harder and harsher choices
each time. Until you stop spending so much money.
And if we do not go down the first path, the city will be forced down a second, more harmful path. Faced with no other choice, the city would have to exercise the only revenue lever fully within our own control. We would have to raise property taxes. We would also be forced to raid our reserves. To balance the budget as required by law, our preliminary budget takes the only path within our control. The second path. The options of the second path are the options of last resort. Options that we will only employ if there is no other means of arriving at a balanced budget.
Let me just throw this out there. I think there's a third path, and it's called spending less money. Think about it. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We appreciate every single one of you. We have a tiny bit more appreciation for our paid subscribers who help make our show possible. If you'd like to become a paid subscriber, support our work, participate in the daily show polls, Q&As, Sundays with subscribers, go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show for $5. I think we make it pretty easy. I think $5 a month is a hell of a deal, too. Never raised our prices. Not even for inflation. Not even during the inflation under Biden. Bidenflation. Not once. All right, we'll see you back here on the live show tomorrow at noon.